In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I thank God that He gave me the chance to be here in this holy place and His church. And I thank Abuna Vishoy for his love and for his humility to give me this chance. And God knows how I love Abuna Vishoy. And I am so happy to see Utz Abuna this evening. Tomorrow we will pray the longest psalm in the Paschal. We will pray Bekathronos in the 11th hour of Tuesday. And we will pray it again at the end of the Paschal on the 12th hour of Great Friday. Because we have two long psalms, Pekathronos, the throne of God, which is the cross, and Avichinon, because of Judas Iscariot. Pekathronos is Psalm 45 in the Masoretic Bible, the numbering of the psalms in the Bible. And if you switch the two numbers, 45, it will become 54. This is Avichinon. But Avichinon, this is in the numbering in the Septuagint. This is why I will talk with you about Pekathronos. According to St. John Chrysostom and according to the Church Fathers. And we will talk about it because we want to understand. We take more than 20 minutes to sing this psalm. So when we understand it, when we sing it, we enjoy it more. We praise God. The Church Fathers, they started to talk about the title of the psalm because the title is very, very important. And thank God that this psalm has a title, because sometimes some psalms, they don't have titles, even the name of the author, and they call them orphan psalms. Orphan psalms. What is the title of the psalm? Pekathronos. They call it Triumphal Victory. Triumphal Victory. Because our Lord Jesus Christ conquered Satan on the cross. So this is a hymn of victory. Because this is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And we ask Him to give us victory. To conquer the lusts of the world, the lusts of the world, the lusts of the flesh. And to conquer Satan through his grace. So, triumphal victory. And there is a second title for the psalm. They call it a song of love. A song of love. Because we see the love of our Lord Jesus Christ in the cross. In a practical way. God loves us. Ultimate love. We were sinners, but He loves us. He loves the bride. She was ugly, but He loves her. And if you wanted to see how she was ugly and in dirt, read Chapter 16 in the book of Ezekiel. This is a very famous chapter. The third title of this psalm, it is written to the beloved. To the beloved. God loves us and we love Him. And you know the Shema in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. To love God from all your heart, from all your soul, from all your strength, and from all your mind. And the fourth title, to those who are loved. To those who are loved. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. Our Lord loves the church, and the church loves our Lord Jesus Christ. And another title for the psalm, they said the psalm has a title for understanding. And we come to the church to understand. To understand what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And because of the Jews and those who crucified him, they didn't understand. Because it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, if they had known him, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. And the first statement on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. So we want to understand. And when we read the Bible, we read the scriptures. We hear the scriptures during the Holy Week. We want to understand and to memorize, and more important, to apply his commandments in our life. And to understand how God gave us a new creation. So the title for understanding. And there is another title, and this is the last one. And it is very important also, to be changed. To be changed. This is the title of the psalm, according to St. John Chrysostom. To be changed. And we come to the church regularly to change, to get better. Because a changing mind is the repentance, metanoia, a changing mind, to renew. This is transformation. Not to conform, but to transform, as St. Paul said in the very famous chapter also in his epistle to Romans chapter 12. In the beginning of this chapter he said, don't conform to the world, but transform by the renewal of your mind. By the renewal of your mind. We can't change the circumstances around us, but we ourselves to change. Change because we received a new creation. St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, so that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. So changing, our Lord Jesus Christ came to change the circumstances, to change the creation, to give us a new creation, to recreate us, to recreate us. That's why the first sign our Lord Jesus Christ did it according to the Gospel of St. John, changing the water into wine, because he came to change death into life. As it is written in the same Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I came that you may have life. I came to give you life. He is the life. As he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John chapter 14. And to change the darkness into light. Because in the same gospel, chapter 1, our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light. And when he talked about St. John the Baptist, he said he wasn't the light, but he came to witness to the light. Who came to witness to the light? And our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he said about us in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Because Christ is in you. When you have Christ in your life, so you are light. You are light, St. Paul said it in chapter 5 in Ephesians. He said, you are light. And you are the children of light. Even when we praise God in the midnight, praising, at midnight we walk up to say, Ten sino eb shoi ni shiri, arise, O the children of light. You are the children of light. And you don't be sharing in the works of darkness, but to rebuke it, as St. Paul said also in Ephesians. So changing darkness into light, the people who were sitting in darkness, they saw light. And death into life. And to change the despair into hope. We have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us hope. Because according to St. Paul to Corinthians, the first epistle, he said in chapter 12, the great virtues in Christianity, love, faith, and hope. And we have hope in him. We have hope in him to change despair, because St. John Chrysostom said in one of his books on repentance and the almsgiving, the two great enemies for our spirituality are despair and laziness. Because laziness makes the one who is standing to fall. And the despair doesn't make the one who falls to rise again. So our Lord Jesus Christ came to change darkness into light, death into life, and despair into hope, and weakness to be strong, to be heroes, heroes of faith. And St. Paul talked about what had happened, what changed in our life, in his epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2, what we were and what we became. We were without Christ. We were worshipping idols. St. John the Baptist said to the Jews, don't say that we are children of Abraham. Because God can make from these stones, from these rocks, its children to Abraham. And the St. John Chrysostom said, yes, it happened. This is what happened with the Gentiles to become Christians, its children of God. And St. John Chrysostom said, example of this, go in the wilderness in Egypt, in the desert of Egypt, you will find the stones praising God. The people who were with a stony heart, according to the book of Ezekiel, they became children of God and they are praising God. And he was talking about Egypt when the wilderness was filled with the Anachorites and those who lived in solitude and the hermits and the monks. So our Lord Jesus Christ, it changed our life. It changed our life. It changed the whole world through what he did and what he said. And did first, as it is mentioned in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 24 and in the book of Acts chapter 1. What Jesus did and said. And the Church Fathers emphasis the order, did before said. Because it is, usually we hear it from the people, walk your talk. Walk your talk. To the transformation, for the transformation, for the alteration, for the changing from an old self into a new self. When we come to the church, I say, I wanted to change this in my life. I ask God to help me to uproot the vices, to practice virtues, to practice virtues. From an unbeliever into a believer. They said that we, from a thief to a generous giver, from an adulterer to into a chaste person, from a troublemaker into a peacemaker. As our Lord said it in the Sermon on the Mount also. So they said that this psalm, Psalm 45, is a wedding song. Is a wedding song. Between the groom, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride, the church. The invited guests are the bride. St. John Chrysostom says this. The invited guests are the bride, the church. And in Psalm 18 said, he is like a bridegroom coming forth from his tent. The church has been loved by God. He purchased us. He purchased us. And when was she loved? While she was ugly. That she might not remain ugly, but she became very beautiful, chaste. And St. Paul talked about the characters of the church also. And St. Ephrem the Syrian, he talked about the contrast of Ezekiel chapter 16. What God did for Jerusalem, what Jerusalem did for our Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, imagine it. The contrast between Palm Sunday and the Great Friday. On Palm Sunday, they were receiving our Lord Jesus Christ with Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. And after few days, they said, crucify him. On Palm Sunday, they took off their garments. On Great Friday, they took off his garment. On Palm Sunday, our Lord was going into Jerusalem. But on Great Friday, they took him out of Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, they received him with honor, the son of David, the Messiah. On Great Friday, they crucified him among thieves. Saint Ephrem the Syrian said, in Ezekiel chapter 16, he put a crown on the head of the bride. And also she put a crown over his head, but a crown of thorns. He washed her, but she shed his blood. A very amazing contrast, Saint Ephrem the Syrian talked about it in Ezekiel chapter 16. So, what our Lord Jesus Christ did for our sake. And Saint John Chrysostom said, let him come now, let him show himself, let us love him. Because this is the main goal, to love God and to love your neighbor. And when our Lord Jesus Christ gave us the new covenant, the new testament, the new covenant on the covenant Thursday, in the Gospel of St. John chapter 13, when he washed the feet of the holy apostles and gave them his body and his blood, the Holy Eucharist, he gave us the new commandment. A new commandment to love one another as I love you. And I will tell you about five chapters, all of them chapters 13, and all of them are talking about love. John 13, love is the new commandment. And Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. Saint Augustine said, to love God and to love your neighbor and to do whatever you want. Because when you love God and you love your neighbor, you will not do anything bad. When you love God and you love your neighbor, you will not lie or judge or steal or commit adultery or anything. So St. Paul said that love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And the very famous chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is an excellent way, or the excellent way, tariq afdal, the excellent way. And Hebrews chapter 13, the first verse, the brotherly love to abide in the brotherly love, Philadelphus. Philo Adolphus' brother. This is why they call some cities Philadelphia, or some states Philadelphia, Philadelphus, loving of the brothers. And example of this brotherly love is the love between our father Abraham and his nephew Lot in Genesis chapter 13.
So these are the five chapters. John 13, love is the new commandment. We will read it on the covenant Thursday. Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. 1 Corinthians 13, love is the excellent way. And Hebrews 13, the brotherly love, and example of this Genesis 13. In this psalm, Bikathronos, the throne of God. Psalm 45, he talks about the bridegroom's beauty. Bridegroom's beauty. If you read this psalm, start with the first verse. He said, my heart belched good news. I don't know if I want to show you to help me in pronunciation. Belched, this is what happens with the babies when they take milk and they return it back. This is the same word in English and in Arabic. But this, it doesn't come from the stomach. It comes from the heart. My heart belched good news. When it happens with the babies, what they took in their stomach, they return back. What you take in your heart, this is to be flooding. St. John Chrysostom said, belched means moved, crept out. It is like a spring, a fountain rising.
In English, my heart pours forth a good word.
Yes, and St. John Chrysostom, he used sometimes the Bashita. The Bashita, the Syrian translation. And they said, is this like, not my heart speak, but my heart is like a will. My heart is like a will. Nothing human. This is why he said that this psalm, it is not written, but this inspiration. This comes from heart, not from a pen. He said that this, why he said in this psalm, I am like a swift writer, a swift scribe, no hesitation, no rethinking, no errors, no mistakes. But it is a spring, it is a fountain. To describe the heavenly bridegroom. To describe the heavenly bridegroom. And this is what we wanted to see before our eyes during this Holy Week and all the time. So St. John Chrysostom said, this is not his own discovery, but this is what it comes from God to him. And he said that it is not a result of a human effort, but a divine inspiration moving him. And this, when you eat the Word of God, our Lord Jesus said it during his temptations. It is not just by food alone to live, but by the Word of God. And in the book of Ezekiel, it is said to Ezekiel, eat the scroll, eat the book. And it is also in the book of Jeremiah. And in the book of Jeremiah, he said, it is sweet like honey. We read a lot of readings during this Holy Week. We hear a lot of Gospels and a lot of passages from the scriptures. When you think, when you reflect, when you read about it, when you ponder, when you pray about it, and to feel this sweet like honey. Sweet like honey. And also in the book of Revelation chapter 10, It is said to Saint John the Evangelist, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll. I don't want to make it longer than this, but this, it makes us to reflect, to think, and to feel the blessing of the Word of God and what our Lord Jesus Christ said and did. This is a fount, this a well, this a flooding with the good news. With the good news. فاض قلبي بكلام صالح. فاض قلبي بكلام صالح. When the heart gives this good news, it should to be a purifying heart. A purifying heart. I tell my works to the King. I tell my works to the King. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And we pray it all the time. Thok titi gom nembi o nembismo. He is the King. For thine is the power, the kingdom. And even they wrote it as a sign. They didn't mean it this way, but it is. This is the King of the Jews. And this is his throne, Bikathronos. Bikathronos, this is the Holy Cross. And glory be to God forever. Amen.